This morning we're going to look at Titus 3, 3 to 7, which is all about how God has saved us. And the first thing we're going to consider in our text is this. Why did we need God to save us? Let's look at verse 3. At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. We needed God to save us because we were sinners who were foolish, disobedient, deceived, and enslaved by sin. First, we were foolish. Although we knew there was a God, we rejected him and lived as if he didn't exist. We were fools. Second, we were disobedient. We lived our lives in disobedience to God. We were rebels. Third, we were deceived. We believed the devil's lie that living in rebellion against God was the best way to live in this world. We were gullible. Fourth, we were enslaved by sin. We were captives to our sinful nature, carrying out its sinful desires. Unable to break free from this terrible slavery and unwilling to. And this also affected our relationships with people. The end of verse 3 says we hated people and were hated by people. Now, in some cases, this was hatred in the sense of anger and rage and bitterness and resentment. But in other cases, it was hatred in the sense of loving ourselves more than we loved other people. We were selfish, self-centered, self-absorbed. But love is selfless, self-giving, others-centered. Selfish people hate other people because they love themselves too much. It's selfless people who truly love other people because they love others more than they love themselves. But the text says we hated people and were hated by people. We lived in malice and envy. So why did God need to save us? Why did we need God to save us, rather? Because we were sinners who were enslaved to sin, unable and unwilling to do anything about it. But astonishingly, God saved us. God, who is perfectly holy and righteous, saved sinners who were totally enslaved to sin and unable and unwilling to do anything about it. But why? This is the second thing we're going to consider in our text. Why did God save us? Let's look at verses 4 and 5a. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us. Not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. God saved us because of his mercy, because of his kindness and love. He didn't have to save us, and we certainly didn't deserve for him to save us. We chose to reject him, and he could have left us to our own devices. That would have been completely fair. He could have left us to face his righteous judgment. But in his kindness and love and mercy, he chose to save us. And verse 5 makes it clear that there was nothing we could do to earn God's salvation. It says God didn't save us because of righteous things we'd done. We were sinful to the core. And any supposedly righteous things we did were like filthy rags in God's eyes, stained by sin. Let's look at Romans 14, 23. Everything that does not come from faith is sin. And Hebrews 11, 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's impossible for a non-Christian to please God. And it's impossible for a non-Christian to do things that are truly righteous in God's eyes. So it was impossible for us to do anything righteous that could make God want to save us. So-called good works won't save anyone. Because not only can someone not do a single truly good work without trusting in God, God's standard is perfection. There's absolutely nothing we can do to earn God's salvation. So our only option for salvation is God's mercy. And that's exactly what the text says. God saved us because of his mercy. What a wonderful God we have, brothers and sisters. Our God saved us because of his mercy. Let's not take his mercy for granted. Let's be overwhelmed by it. Let's thank him and praise him for it every day. Now, how did he do it? This is the third thing we're going to consider in our text. How did God save us? Let's look at verses 5b to 7. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Saviour, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. God saved us through atonement, regeneration, and justification. First, God saved us through atonement. Verse 6 says, God gave us the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Jesus lived a sinless life, died a sin-atoning death, and accomplished a sin-conquering resurrection so God could save us. This was the only way God could save us. The only way for God to forgive sinners was to punish someone in our place, to provide atonement for our sins. And that someone had to be able to be punished in our place. They had to be sinless. And that someone was the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one. And God raised him from the dead, proving he'd accepted Jesus' sacrifice for our sins. Atonement had been made. And it also proved Jesus was sinless, because if he was a sinner, he would have stayed dead. The resurrection proved Jesus was the sinless Son of God, whose death was an atonement to save sinners. God saved us through atonement. Second, God saved us through regeneration. Regeneration means to be born again. God regenerated us. He caused us to be born again through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit washed us clean and renewed us. He caused us to be born again. And because of this, he enabled us to repent and put our trust in Jesus to save us. It's impossible to do this without being born again. When the Holy Spirit causes someone to be born again, they repent and put their trust in Jesus to save them. God saved us through regeneration. Third, God saved us through justification. When the Holy Spirit regenerated us and caused us to be born again, he caused us to put our trust in Jesus, God justified us. Justification means to be declared righteous. Through faith in Jesus, God declares us to be righteous in his sight. Even though we're not righteous, we're sinners. We have no righteousness of our own, but God gives us Christ's perfect righteousness. He justifies us through faith in Christ. God saved us through justification. So how did God save us? Through atonement, regeneration, and justification. Now these might sound like big words, but they're not abstract ideas that have nothing to do with everyday life. They have everything to do with everyday life. They're a matter of everyday life and death. If someone's sins have been atoned for by Jesus, if they've been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, if they've been justified by God, they're saved. and they have eternal life. But if someone's sins haven't been atoned for by Jesus, if they haven't been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, if they haven't been justified by God, they're not saved, and they have eternal death. This leads us to the fourth thing we're going to consider in our text. What did God save us from? Let's look at verse 7. So that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. We're saved from eternal death. Now, eternal death isn't mentioned explicitly in this verse, but it's mentioned implicitly. Because those who don't have eternal life have eternal death. God has saved us from eternal death. He saved us from his wrath and judgment. He saved us from being separated from him forever. We deserve to face God's judgment. We deserve to have eternal death. But God saved us from eternal death because of his mercy and through atonement, regeneration and justification. How good is that? Let's praise our merciful God for saving us from eternal death. This takes us to the fifth and final thing we're going to consider in our text. What are we saved to? Let's look at verse 7 again. So that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. We're saved to eternal life. God has saved us and given us the wonderful hope of eternal life, where we'll be with him forever. The God who made us for himself and saved us for himself. We don't deserve eternal life. As we just saw, we deserve eternal death. But incredibly, God has given us eternal life. He saved us from eternal death, and he saved us to eternal life. In the beginning, God made us to live with him forever. But that ended when Adam and Eve rebelled against God. He warned them that if they disobeyed him, they would surely die. Eternal life would be over. Eternal death would reign. And that's exactly what happened. But in his great mercy, God sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to destroy death. Let's look at Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And Romans 5:17-21. For if by the trespass of the one man, Adam, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as one trespass resulted in condemnation for all people, so also one righteous act resulted in justification and life for all people. For just as through the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. The law was brought in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more, so that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ came to destroy death and to give us eternal life. He came to reverse the curse. God made us to live with him forever, and we chose death instead. But God, because of his mercy, has made a way for us to live with him forever. How good is that? Let's praise our God for saving us to eternal life. The God who is infinite and perfectly holy and righteous died to save people who are finite and terribly sinful. As people who've experienced God's wonderful salvation, let's thank him and praise him every day for saving us. Let's never take his mercy for granted, but be overwhelmed by it every day. May we be in awe of our merciful God, and may that overflow in worship. Let's pray. Father, we are overwhelmed by your mercy this morning. Thank you that you chose to show mercy to sinners who rejected you, even though you'd given us life, and that you'd offered eternal life, and that instead we chose to live a life without you. We chose eternal death. We were foolish. We were deceived. We were rebels against you. And Father, we know that we deserve nothing but your righteous judgment for our wickedness. So that's why we're overwhelmed that you would show mercy instead. We don't deserve it and we can't earn it, and yet you chose to. Because you're kind and you're loving, you're merciful and gracious. Father, we're in awe of you this morning. You are a merciful God. And we're so grateful that you chose to save us through your Son. Thank you that we have this wonderful salvation now through faith in Jesus. And that we have the sure hope of eternal life, that our eternity is secure in Christ. And that when we die, or when the Lord Jesus returns, we will be with you forever because of your mercy. Father, please help us never to take your mercy for granted, but to thank you for it every day, to rejoice in it every day, and to be in awe of you every day that you would show mercy to sinners like us. We pray all these things through our Lord Jesus. Amen.